This is at Trustworthy Slav.
This is at Incognito, COH.
CRKBlack.com build.
This is the Fed Post.
I'm just messing with my gain dial without thinking about it.
Just closing your eyes and just rotating it. Just like,
yeah, like it's just so stupid. You guys like, hey, Slav, like, hey man, what's going on with that? I have no idea. There's no way I could know.
It's avant-garde.
yeah, exactly.
Avant-garde podcasting.
It's like that fat chick DJ that just turns the volume up and down to the song.
I'm doing noise music. I'm making those cackles and crackles and shit. Have you guys ever heard noise shit? Like,
dude,
noise?
Yeah. I fuck with noise a little bit. I mean, it depends what noise it is. If it's like noise rock, I fuck with it. But if it's just like, if it's like a DJ that's just like, yeah, I add crackles over pop music, then no.
I don't know what were we gonna say, Slav?
I was just gonna say, like, I don't know, like, I've heard of it and I'm sure that I have heard music that is like noise rock and stuff, but I can't tell you what it is, to be honest.
Noise rock is almost like free jazz, but then done with like white kids that are pretty greasy, and then late 90s with just like some electric instruments.
Yeah, I don't know. I think like, yeah, I don't know. Have you ever heard of Big Black?
No, Big Black. I know Big Black from Rob Dyrdek's show.
There's a band called Big Black, and I kind of always thought that maybe they were kind of like noise rock metal-ish.
I'll look them up and then I'll report back.
They have an album called Songs About Fucking, which is pretty good.
Okay.
But I don't know. It probably isn't. Anyways,
noise rock is kind of just like improvisational. Like it is what it sounds like, noise. Sure. But like if you get people who are actually like on their shit, it transcends noise into like a really cool fabric of like intertwined melodies. But if it's not that, it's just like actually just noise.
Yeah, I mean, in Brooklyn, it was like, you know, I'm not familiar with the taxonomy of all these subgenres or whatever, especially I don't know shit about rock, but like there was a couple times in Brooklyn when I was around like the music scene kids here and like the hipster people, and like there was definitely a time where I was in some fucking venue in fucking like East Williamsburg or something, and like the whole thing was like people sitting around and some girl was like had like a pedal thing and would just like strum, like hit a note.
Oh,
and just hit the pedal,
in.
And that shit would just loop, and it would just be a noise. And we'd all just sit there listening. I'd be like, word, like, okay.
You're looking around like, what are we doing here, folks?
Yeah, exactly. I'd look around like, I'd be like, yo, okay, this kind of goes, I guess. It's kind of, I mean, this slaps in the whip.
I mean, some people it slaps. If you have no melanin.
We've all seen like good examples of that, right? Like I think like Reggie Watts has really good performances where he like is doing a lot of the looping and shit. Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's people that loop shit that can like create incredible, like just really great soundscapes. But if it's just like some broad hitting one note and looping it and then just like adding crackles or something, that's some Brooklyn basement shit.
Well, yeah, to be fair, listen, whether or not it's quality has a lot to do with whether or not you want to sleep with a woman, to be totally honest.
No, yeah, the Reggie Watts thing, like, yeah, there's some, I vaguely remember there'd be some like some skill in that, but like this, I just remember she'd like hit it and let's just kind of like lean back and it just kind of like soak it in. It's kind of like running your fingers over like circling a fucking wine glass and
broads that smoke American spirits and after they watch fucking one early Grimes video on YouTube, yeah. And they fucking do a music set in the village.
It's like instrumental ASMR.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to fuck her, so it was good. It was pretty good.
But
it's crazy, man. It's crazy the timing with the job shit with us. I mean, I don't know if I'll keep this in, but But yeah, I got like a couple offers now. Just like it's all happening like in the last couple of days. So I'm kind of nice. Kind of because, yeah, you know, same as Slava. I just been searching for like months now and just mm-hmm. kind of. Yeah, we talked about it before. That shit is like you can't stay in that state for too long. It's not good.
I mean, it's like atrophy. Like I think like the thing about neat life is that like it will ruin you at a certain point. And so just like getting off your fucking ass. I don't know, man. Like I hate it's just one of these like everybody is kind of right about stuff thing. Like,
oh, yeah,
the whole thing about people just being like, oh, you're depressed. Just get up and get a goddamn job. It's like the people saying that have horrible intentions that like I don't trust. But like there's obviously like something to that. And like,
oh, yeah,
I've known a lot of fucking miserable, depressed people who just did fucking nothing.
Yeah. Like, dude, I've been mad, like miserable and depressed with a job, though.
Sure.
I don't think that's the single remedy for it, but I get what you mean for sure. Like it's helpful to get out and actually start doing something, because if not, you kind of settle into a rut, and you need something to kind of push you out of that.
Dude, I think one of the things about it is just that like our society is kind of planned around the assumption that everyone has a job.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So yeah, like a lot of just how everything's situated around and the assumptions people make, it's like. That's kind of the bedrock thing, right? And so it's like, is the job itself going to make you happy? Well, yes or no, right? Not necessarily, right? But like, I think it creates a bedrock for you to actually build something on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As opposed to just kind of having like a vacuous existence. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like most people, if you're an adult, especially if you didn't like grow up in a town or something, it can become hard to meet new people and become friends and make new friends. As an adult, and especially as you get older. And I think a lot of people kind of rely on who they socialize at work to kind of build networks outside of work. And so being able to get it back into the flow of that's like helpful for sure for people.
Totally. And dude, honestly, it's interesting you said that because like this job that I'm going into now, like this is kind of like I was talking about this earlier with my GF, like the big self-improvement thing that I'm working on for this job, and it sounds maybe kind of severe, is like, dude, the world before COVID, I don't know if this has become a normie platitude yet, but the world before COVID is like gone forever.
Of course.
Right. That shit's over. And so like, how should I have that inform how I'm navigating the world now? Right. Mm-hmm. And dude, the big thing is like, you know, I'm a talkative guy. That's like part of one of the reasons why, like, I'm on this fucking podcast.
Podcast, right?
Your podcast, your gene, yeah.
I got the podcast gene, dude. And hopefully my son won't. Dude, I'm just like, I'm not talking about myself at work, dude. Like, I'm not going to be like a dick or anything, but like, I don't intend to like make friends with any of my coworkers.
Yeah,
I don't intend to tell them anything about me personally. I like don't need them to like think that I'm some fucking like internet fascist or something. Like they are gonna know basically nothing about my personal life, and I'm just not gonna volunteer that information. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
And
yeah,
I'm like I said, I'm a talkative guy, so it'll be like kind of like a little bit of work. But yeah, that's kind of one of my goals for this new gig.
You just gotta talk about other shit. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Yeah.
Find stuff that they're interested in. Keep it focused on that. Or like, you know, find where there's middle ground that's outside of that.
It's doable. I mean, you know, I worked in a place where it was just like, you know, lib central. it's where the libs, it's where they metastasize and all
it's
that.
It's like their spawning pool.
Yeah. It's literally where it was. But you know, and even there, you know, they all love talking politics and, you know, that too. Yeah. I just, you know. It's hard. I get the difficulty of it because, you know, I can be quiet as shit. I'm actually known for that in real life, which is funny because on Twitter and here I'm like a blabbermouth, but in real life,
right.
In real life, I'm the quiet one that people get nervous.
I'm the same way, Sierra Kate. I think that's why I do this. I'm like, all right, I got some shit that I need to like stretch out.
Take it off the manifesto and put it out here and give it some, you know, let it breathe a little.
Sure.
But yeah, there's people there that like, I just don't say that shit. But you know, it's tough because. You know, obviously we care about this shit. So like there'll be moments where it'll leak out. there'll be moments where it leaks out and I almost always regret it. I almost like, I look back on it and I'm like, man, I didn't need to say that shit. I didn't need to say it. And just to see the look of discomfort on their face and like just make an awkward moment. And you know, it's not worth it. I'm not changing anybody's mind. They're not changing my mind. It's really not, especially, you know, what you're getting when you walk into it. You already know what they're going to say.
You know what they're going to say. And the other thing too, is it's just like, look, man, like I'm a little bit older. I'm a little bit more, I'm a little wiser, right? Like wage labor, right? Just working for another person, you know, make an hourly wage, right? There's upsides and there's downsides to that, right? You know, I have less investment than, you know, my boss or something. Downside, like there are plethora ways that my means of supporting myself and keeping a roof over my head can just be taken away. That's a reality of the situation of being an employee. And so when you think about like, oh man, like, I mean, even like today, some fucking broad talked about, you know, like, oh, I'm wearing blue and yellow for, you know, for Ukraine. And like, what? I'm just going to like start screaming like, just oh, Western imperialism. Like, I'm going to say what's like the correct position on it. Right. And I'll get all of the points of being the most correct person. But now, like, a possibility is that I say the wrong thing and I just like don't have an income now.
Yeah, of course.
And it's just like not worth it. And I think it's just easy to forget that. But if you just do your best to keep that in mind at all times, I think that'll probably go a long. I think that'll go a long way.
It's not a comfortable spot to be in, though, bro. It's not at all.
No.
What, I mean, just I know like, that's the way you got to cope and do it, but it's just like, that's just sucks. Like, I don't know. That's how it was and where my last job was. And I was having to sit around, listen to Broz talk about how stupid unvaccinated people are and shit like that all day long and bite my tongue or and bite my lip. And I don't know. Shit like that's just like, it wears you down, bro. Yeah. It eats your soul away every time that you just like, turn the cheek. Same thing with customer service. Every time some like jackass treats you like you're a piece of shit because like, you know, some type of weird thing went wrong that had nothing to do with you. Right. And you just like tell them, oh, you're right, sir. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It eats you away. I mean, it's what you have to do though. Like that's how you be a successful person in our climate. But it's like, fuck, bro.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's true. I think like right now, I think like a month or two from now, I'll definitely just like be fully bitching about that shit. But at least right now, it's just like, I don't think I have the habit nearly as much as I'd like to of just like shutting the fuck up and like not talk. I think I was like thinking recently just about like last time I went to my dentist's office, he like said something and I just started like kind of a soft argument with him about like globalism.
He's got his like, hand in your mouth. You can barely even talk. You're like, you're fucking globalist, motherfucker. Yeah.
Right. And usually we immediately schedule my next appointment. And like, I feel like it's been some time and another appointment hasn't come up.
Now,
like,
got out of there.
Well, I'll say this now, right? I don't think that was an intentional thing because also, right, the front desk lady has no fucking stake in this conversation. She didn't.
Right.
But like the idea, the fact that it's even occurring to me that I'm like, oh man, like, did my dentist really get bothered by my statement? It's just like, dude, this shit's just like not. I don't give a fuck what my dentist thinks about global markets, dude. And I don't give a fuck what he thinks I think about it, dude.
Like, he's got nothing to do with what you think about it. And like, you got nothing to do with what he thinks about it. So you go to him, you get your teeth done, and then you get out of there. That's just like how that's meant to happen.
Even the very, very remote hypothetical possibility that maybe I potentially said something that kind of bothered him that made it so that I don't have an appointment right now, which again, it's like there's no chance that happened, right? But like even the idea that maybe there's a possibility there is like is worth what, like, that's not worth the slight discomfort of that is not worth just like opening your mouth and sharing your thoughts with this person who's like,
yeah, losing your teeth possibly because you can't get to the dentist.
I like, I wake up tomorrow, it's like a gypsy's curse, all my teeth fall out because I talked about how Japan wants to keep their national identity.
Yeah, I mean, that's mad funny. Yeah, it's definitely not worth it. And I mean, you know, and again, I know this sounds like pretentious when I say it, but most people are not thinking about politics. So when it's like, oh,
you shouldn't,
I don't really
make
care.
Them. You shouldn't make them if they don't want to, if they're not doing it actively, unless you're like in a forum where they've come to you to hear that. You don't need to roll up on someone's place of business or something, or them coming to your place of business and you'd be like, hey, you want to think about this like existential thing that you never even thought about or don't worry about ever. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, I don't want to think about that. And you're like, oh, yeah, we're talking about it. And then they're like, no, thank you.
I mean, yeah, because then you get Jehovah's Witness type energy. Yeah. Like, yeah, I mean, I want
do you have a moment to talk about our Lord Zelensky?
Yeah. I mean, I do want them to think about it a little bit more because they don't think about it at all, right? But like, you know, I think when you get this feeling of like, oh, you know, I don't really care what he thinks, you know, a big part of that is because he's not thinking, most likely is not thinking anything about it, really. That's just most people. I know that sounds like kind of pretentious, but like, you know, most people, when you talk to them, they're just repeating something they read.
No, like, I mean, saying that most people aren't like politics online brain poisoned is not pretentious. That's just like, that's just having a little bit of like,
well, not even online brains, like even just politics brain generally, like most people are just like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, you know, most people support Ukraine because, again, like a cursory glance at like an international conflict, like the easiest knee-jerk response is to be like, oh, okay, who's the guy who's invading the other country? Oh, okay, of course. He's probably the bad guy.
It's a shrug. Mm-hmm. It's a shrug. When you talk to people about COVID, about politics, about anything, they'll say some words that they read somewhere, but it's really a shrug. It's really, that's what they're telling you. They're just like,
I was talking to somebody I was working with today, and this is like my boss, right? And they're talking and they're like, yeah, man, like, you know, masks are optional now. You can still wear one if you want to. People are comfortable with, like, if you're comfortable with that, or you can choose not to. You know, personally, I'm gonna, you know, not wear one in the back. But like when I'm around people that are wearing them, I'll probably wear one. And, you know, it occurs to me, I'm the only fucking person in this company, from the impression I got of everyone else I've met, who's like not going to be wearing a mask. And so he says that to me, right? And he hates the masks. And then like proceeds to just not wear a mask the rest of the day because he observed me not wearing a mask. And that's totally what that meant of just being like, I'm just gonna, you know, I'll just do whatever makes people more comfortable. And it's like, it's actually like you're saying you're doing whatever makes you more comfortable because like you're going to be the odd man out, the only one not wearing a mask. Yep. Right. Yep. And I think that that's like, you know, the connection there is just like, I think that's like, like most normal people's connection with politics is basically just like, it's this kind of complicated. It's not really even all that complicated. It's just kind of this like matrix of just like ways that you need to constantly be staying up to date on things to say and not to say in order to make people like you or comfortable around you.
It's just social cohesion, like purely.
Exactly, dude. And I thought that was really funny of just the whole like, yeah, I'm definitely going to wear a mask. Like you know, out front and I won't in the back. And then it's like, motherfucker didn't wear a mask the entire day because he saw that I wasn't wearing one, you know. And it's like, it's all right, man, like you can be uncomfortable, you know, like it's funny.
Yeah, you know, I'd probably mention that study where like there's those lines on the graph and people say that one of them is shorter because everyone around them says it's shorter, even though it's clearly not, they know it's not. Right. That's just how people, you know, it's one of the most terrifying things is to be the odd one out, to stick out, to like to go against the herd or whatever. It's like it's like evolutionarily wired to be terrifying. So, of course, they're just, you know, they're just like, all right, well, everybody's wearing a mask, so I don't want to be the one guy that doesn't, because that's like, you know, it's just terrifying in itself. So I get why they do it. But yeah, it's what's funny is that all it takes is like people just to stop doing it for them to being like to just not care anymore, to just stop doing it. Because
yeah, like it's I mean, I don't know how to judge this topic too much, because like, again, like I think Washington State is like the second to last fucking state in the country to like repeal our fucking mask mandate. So I'm assuming like anyone listening to this, for the most part, this just isn't a part of their lives anymore. But like, you know, I think probably 60-70% of people are wearing masks still. It's funny because I went to the gym and 100% of people are not wearing masks at the gym. Yeah. Gym goers, absolutely zero masks anywhere. Which is just funny. Like, I actually didn't think that line was as like stark as like right wing online elements wanted you to think. But I guess it actually kind of was. Like, gym rats genuinely just don't give a shit. But like, I think what it's going to be, honestly, man, is it's just going to be everybody kind of just like getting comfortable by like moving with the herd slowly. And like every day, a couple more people are going to go maskless, and then it'll be twice as many the next day and twice as many as that the next day. I think that's how this is going to work.
Yeah, they they lifted it where I live like last weekend. And since I've been going around, pretty much no one has been wearing a mask. There's been, you know, a few people here and there, but pretty much everyone was like, all right, word.
Dude, another funny thing I noticed was, and I say this just with absolute respect and appreciation, Black people, absolutely no masks ever.
Yeah.
I love it, dude. You got to respect that, man. Like, just absolutely none. The white progressives masked to the tens. Yeah. Right. I did not see a single Black person wearing a mask.
To me, I've found it to be largely a class thing. Like, you know, totally. even despite racial lines, like I live in a city that's pretty largely, Black, and, you know, depending on where you're at in the city, either it be people with lots of money or people with not hardly any money, that's really where the difference comes in with masking or not. It's like people that are just like doing normal day-to-day shit, that aren't doing some like email job, your day-to-day laborers and such, your limping proles, perhaps, you know, that type of class too. Those individuals, which I find myself in that latter half, those individuals end up not wearing masks most of the time. But if you go into a part that's more well-to-do, hoity-toity kind of area, where you're going to have nice little row houses that have cute little gardens and, you know, parks and such that have the gay pride flags, and then coffee shops that have Trans Lives Matter fucking signs in their window, then you're going to find people, regardless of race, wearing masks and such. But that's how I've kind of found it to be. It's more, a little bit more along class lines, which kind of goes along with the whole, just the whole ideology in general.
Yeah, because the bougie people care more about the virtue signal than someone who's blue collar, because that just makes sense. There's more social capital in what you virtue signal.
Well, and I think
mask is purely a virtue signal. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, and I think probably the most the loudest non-maskers are, not to sound dirtbag here, but like are the petty bourgeois. You know, like this guy works. This guy has a construction company. Wardrobe style going on, and he's like very much not wearing it, which, like, you know what, bless him, right? And then I think the poor seeming people that do still wear the mask for the most part are, and I think this is a big quiet thing that no one ever wants to talk about all that much, but it's just like the huge demographic of like millennials that are from like upper middle class families that like haven't received their inheritance yet. Yeah. And so they're like broke at the moment, but they're like not working class people actually.
Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of those individuals that exist.
Yeah.
Fail sons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they try to LARP being poor, and you're like, motherfucker, fuck you right now.
I mean, to be honest, like what we're describing is like the overwhelming majority of people on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fail sons. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to tell, because in New York, everybody's still wearing masks outdoors. Not everybody.
Outdoors?
Yeah, bro. Yeah. Try. Well, I mean, since it started, people wear out. I mean, in New York, I see people wear masks outdoors all the time.
Are y'all in the middle of a cold front or something? People try to keep their nose warm.
I mean, it might be, some of it might be that, but like, yeah, I mean, I'd say it's definitely relaxed. Less places ask for the vax card, a little bit less. The Ubers like used to always have to be masked. They give you shit about it. That just stopped.
They got an MO probably.
Yeah, everybody's sort of just kind of like, you know, they have the sign up that says wear a mask and they don't say anything. Like it was all like, it was all people kind of enforced, you know, like socially enforced. And because that was kind of dissipating, like people, nobody's like snapping at each other about masks anymore. You know, that was a very early pandemic thing. You know, those videos of people like, I don't think people are really doing that as much now.
Freaking out about masks?
Yeah, like snapping on someone else about it. Like, that was way more during like the freak hysteria. Like now it's like not really. I mean, it's kind of eased up. But yeah, again, in New York, like, I don't know. You could tell me there's a mask mandate or not, because people outside still, like, not a lot, not everybody, but a lot of people still wear a lot of them,
right?
Which is insane.
Did you guys ever see that very much out in the wild? I think I maybe saw one or two times somebody like checking somebody on the mask, but
it happened to me a few times.
Oh, did it really?
I've had it happen to me too.
Man.
Yeah, okay. Some woman like snapped on me at the bodega because I was like ordering something and the guy couldn't hear me. And like I kind of like lowered my mask to say something and she like,
holy shit,
she started freaking out.
You had one on and you just lowered it for a moment and
I lowered just
on
to talk and she started freaking. This was like right when it started and she started freaking out and saying like, you got like, you know, people are like being dirty in here. She was like kind of being like passive aggressive and was like,
what the fuck?
She was like, you know, if someone walks in with a gun, like everybody would freak out. But someone walks in no mask, like you don't treat it the same, but you should.
And it's like, that is a shit patently like that. Insane what? Thing to say.
No, I'm serious, bro. Like, this is what I see. Like, you know, I gotta acknowledge that, you know, I think I've been wrong in terms of how far the pandemic would go, because I had way bleaker visions of how this would be at this point in time.
Sure.
I wasn't factoring in the midterms that much. So, and again, who knows, you know, the Pfizer CEO is saying that they'll bring back, they're doing a fourth booster. He just said,
oh yeah, dude, I saw the CDC, reverse their stance on boosters. They're saying, actually, yeah, y'all are going to need to get boosters, because like a few months ago, they were like, oh, you know what? Maybe we don't need to do boosters that often. And then they were like, you know what? Nope, never mind. And then Pfizer, like you're saying, their CEO is talking about a new one. So
who knows? You know, I've been thoroughly desensitized to things. So if it came back full force, like in a month from now, I wouldn't feel anything. I would just be completely numbed out.
Like, this is what we do now. The new normal, baby.
I'd be like, sure. Because, you know, we're talking about like people like stop wearing masks and all that. Like, but nobody really has a reason why. You know what I mean? Nobody has a real reason why.
Just going along with it.
Exactly. That's the thing, though. That's the thing. Because if that's still the mechanism of like, okay, I wore it because I was told to and everybody's wearing it, and now I don't wear it because nobody's wearing it, nobody tells me to. If that's just the sole mechanism and there's no real like rationale in the mind of why I should or shouldn't wear a mask.
Right. Like genuine.
Then it can
buy-in.
Come back in. Then it can come back at any second. Because why not? What's the difference? But yeah, I mean, you know, I think from what I've seen here, especially people outside and all that, and vast mandates everywhere, like to go in anywhere, I think it makes sense why it like took a very like black pilled approach on a lot of this. But you know, the midterms, yeah, I guess it kind of like, I don't know, it's dissipated a lot of it. It's kind of insane. But you know, we'll see if it sticks. But yeah, that's what I've been seeing, man. I think that informs a lot of what I view of how this shit will go. But yeah, I mean, hopefully, I mean, it's one of those things where I'm happy to be wrong. I'm really happy to be wrong about this, because if it just disappears and this is just a 2-year experiment, and the Harvard study experiment is concluded, you know, if it's really just like that, like, that'd be fucking great, man. I mean, we took, you know, obviously they got what they wanted and we, you know, there's a lot of bad things that happened, but I mean, that's better than discontinuing another fucking decade or something. You know what I mean? It's significantly better. I'd much rather that, you know, I'd much rather just be wrong about this and just, you know, never have to hear about it again. And it's just some weird, funny, you know, spot in history that we just memory hole and we're just like, yo, that was fucking insane, wasn't it? Like, I would love, that'd be fucking great. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, unfortunately, that's not how history works.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. We'll see. But, you know, I think it's weird because I was thinking like the show now is at the 100th episode and it's 2 years exactly.
Oh, my God. Dude, I forgot that we were recording episode 100. Holy shit.
Yeah, just let's go, window. Baby. 100.
Let's go.
But it's just funny because like it's another thing that just lined up is like that we started doing this like exactly when the shit like hit the fan. Like yes. Exactly when it hit the fan. It's kind of wild. And it's what you said exactly, like the world pre-COVID compared to the world post-COVID is just undeniably different.
Yep.
And like it's funny that the show started like right when that fucking switch happened. And you know, I just moved in like with my girl. Like it was a very like weird, different time. It was like a lot of shit was changing at once for me. It was very surreal, super surreal. But yeah, it's just it's funny. It's been exactly 2 years. So hopefully this is a COVID born podcast in a way. I don't think we would have. I don't know if I would have had the time to like really do this without.
No.
Like if I was going to the office, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
yeah. Others merely adapted to COVID. The Fed post was molded by it, yeah. Born into the COVID.
Exactly.
I was a man before I was allowed to work without a mask on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it'd be a nice, like a bookend if it's just kind of, we hit the 2 years and it's in the COVID thing's over. And it's just a weird nugget of history.
And then we ritually kill ourselves altogether.
Yeah.
And the podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, man, that would be amazing. And now we'll just be a World War III podcast.
Holy shit.
a quick change.
I don't think that'll happen, but yeah, man, I don't know, man. I hope it's done. I was hanging out with a couple buds the other night, and you know, one of them is both really good guys. One of them is definitely a lot more of a normie than me and my other buddy. My other buddy kind of not totally out of nowhere, but like, you know, tells him, and I hadn't said anything, like, you know, hey man, like I'm unvaccinated, and like I really needed to like deal with a lot of bullshit at my job because of that, and like this really sucks, and I'm really glad that a lot of this shit's going away, and like the normie friend, you know, like you guys know how it is, like you hear this stuff kind of said around one of your normie friends, and then you kind of like, you kind of pay close attention because you're like, oh man, like I wonder what they're gonna say, you know. And his kind of whole response was basically just like, yeah, people just don't give a shit anymore, man. Like this shit's over. And I like pray to fucking God that I know that like normies generally just like don't really know what's going on, but also at the same time, it's like it's good to like listen to that shit and kind of take
bellwether.
Take it as like a sense of like what the temperature in the room is like, you know.
Yep. Yep.
And goddamn, I'm like genuinely praying to God that he's correct. I mean,
it
was in and of itself kind of a surprise to like have my friend come clean and just be like, I mean, not that he was ever hiding it necessarily, but just being like, yeah, I'm like unvaccinated. Like this has really been fucking with my life. And for that to just be like a thing we like talked about like normally, like that was that felt bizarre. And so like, yeah. That's a sign, I guess. I don't know.
I'm hearing libs like joke about COVID in here, like in Brooklyn. Like I'm like at these places where like they would never say this a year ago. And I'm just hearing people just joke about how like, yeah, you know, I'm not going to live in fear forever. So, right. I mean, that's kind of a bellwether of things. You know what I mean? Like if they're free to say that, then I don't know. I mean, do we get to a point where people stop asking for vax passports just in general? Like, you know, does it just kind of just slowly just like disappear? Or is it like the 9/11 shit where like it's just kind of just accepted norm and we just kind of like forget about it? I don't know yet. I mean, it might just kind of disappear. I mean, like some of the places I go that I expect them to ask me, they don't ask me. So who knows? Maybe they just like fucking, I don't know. There is that interesting idea that a lot of the right have where it's just like they overplayed their hand, which is very interesting. It's just like, is that a possibility that they just like really like they overextended, that this was just something that was too crazy of a feat and the people just It nah, just dude. Auto, like the
they got infrastructure and shit in place through all this. They've set stuff up to get them like in a good spot going forward, oh, for sure. Regardless of COVID is the issue that they use it for or not, dude. Like digital sure. infrastructure and stuff that they put in place, stuff like the vaccine mandates, just putting stuff together like that and like mm-hmm. having a way to even institute stuff like that in itself, breaking that line as far as like precedent. Legal grounds and precedent too, like that's huge. Like that just softens the ground for being able to do shit like that going forward. Social credit stuff, I mean, that's
yeah, I
definitely
think,
gonna happen, dude.
I think that's two. Yeah, it's like two things. It's like the one is the infrastructure stuff that you're talking about, like the inner workings of like how the world works. Like that's been rewired forever. And then the other half is like the mass psychology, like the mass psychosis and like the permanent fear, the hysteria, like that. I don't know how long you can sustain that. You couldn't sustain it with like the war on terror. Like yeah. that couldn't last forever. Like eventually people would just, that's fear in general. Like when they condition people to get out of phobias, they kind of gradually keep exposing you to it. And eventually your body cannot produce enough cortisol constantly to constantly be in that level of fear. You just can't, it's physically impossible. You have to normalize it.
I think there's something to be said for the overplaying statement. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
I think what COA just saying is like, is obviously true. I think the assumption you're making is that those things maybe aren't like, that those things are maybe mutually exclusive.
Also think about the shuttering of small businesses and all of that's already set in stone. Like fuckload of businesses shuttered. They got what they needed to out of it. It's not like they overplayed their card and they weren't able to follow through. In my mind, it's like they did what they needed to do.
I mean strictly the psychology.
Yeah, like
the
psychology. Again, like I just don't necessarily think they're mutually exclusive. You know, it's like did they get everything they wanted? Well, maybe that's not the right phrasing. Did they get a ton of what they wanted and it was bad? Yada, yada, yada. Yeah. Did they maybe overplay their hand and end it before they could have gotten even more? I think there's probably something to be said for that. And I think that like electoral politics does form culture a lot. To be totally honest, like I mean, honestly, if you want to like I think that's kind of my my take on why like American pop culture is just like so incredibly obsessed with like just black people. Generally, everything is about black people. Like every other month is a Black History Month or something like that. Is honestly just because like electoral strategy. I mean, like never forget that like Bernie Sanders lost to like black Southern church ladies, you know what I mean? Cause Clyburn, and I think that, yeah, like it, the midterms, you know, I think that the midterms played a really big part in this kind of winding down. Cause I think there's every reason for them. These bureaucrats and just absolute sickos that play with our lives. I think there's every reason for them to want to keep it going, you know? So not to say that, you know, we're in a much worse position now than we were, you know, at the beginning of the Fed post, but I think that I feel like there's gotta be something to the idea that they pushed it up personally. Though to be fair, I don't read into when I see like libs talking shit about COVID, I actually don't like interpret it that way. I actually interpret that in kind of a sinister way of like the narrative reinforcing itself, you know? And so that
and it's also a social cohesion thing, like what we were talking about earlier. It's like, oh, well, they got to go ahead for it from, you know, Saturday Night Live. They've read some memes about it now that have worked their way onto their timeline. Right. And so now that's, you know, it's a okay thing to do.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that in that article where they're saying, soon will memory hole, like it doesn't even say memory hole, but it implies that it's like soon we'll forget about the entire pandemic. I forget where some article was saying that. And, you know, SNL, that whole thing, like I see all those things. Yeah. Kind of like what Slava's saying. I see that all is just dancing on the grave. I see that. Yeah. It's like they won and now they get to, you know, just run the victory lap and just laugh about it because it's they won already. But what I do think it applies in the overextending is definitely the just again, like the mass fear, like the level of like where we started, where people were like freaking out at each other and just kind of like living in terror. I just don't think, again, yeah, it's a physical thing. I don't think they could keep that up forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, of course, you get to the point where people normalize insane things. Like, why are we normalizing, like, that you can fire someone because they didn't get a fucking flu shot, 6-month flu shot? That's fucking insane. And that's already normalized. But that's the phase. That's how you shift from mass fear, like high levels of fear, to like, oh, this is now my new homeostasis. This is my new, like, this is okay. This is what it's supposed to be like. You know, you have to put them through the shock first before they stabilize it. Like, oh yeah, this was all, you know, of course they do that. That's not weird at all. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's, I don't know. It's interesting in general. I mean, I think maybe we're in the eye of the storm. Who knows? Maybe this is too early to, I've heard that COVID is over many times before. So it's, you know, it's hard to say. But yeah, again, the mass fear thing, I think that has died. I don't know if they could bring that back. That element specifically, I don't know. Maybe they could. Like, people always go lower than my expectations of like how dumb they can be. Yeah. So maybe one day you'll just walk around, they'll all be like, well, I'm freaking out about this fucking, you know, Omegle variant or whatever the fuck. Like, you know, Omegle. People just
Zoop variant.
Yeah, the Xeno variant or whatever the fuck. Like, who knows? Maybe that, you know, I could imagine that. Would any of us be shocked, really? You know? I don't think so. But it's interesting too, yeah, what we're saying about like initially like not being able to talk about shit like at work or whatever. I mean, that's really the conception of the pod, really. It's conception of like our sphere of Twitter and being anonymous on Twitter. You know what I mean? Like, it's still just something that I still think about, you know, and I was talking about it with Jeannie after the end of that episode. Like, you know, he was just saying like, you know, it really can't be forgotten how insane it is that we can't say what we think and we have to do this. We have to like hide in like, you know, cartoon avies and like fucking, you know, anonymous accounts. Like, it's fucking insane that we have to do this just to like at risk of being fired and like losing your livelihood over an opinion. Like, it's still something that you should not let that, like, it's easy to just forget about it and be like, yeah, this is how it is, you know. Even I do that. Even I'm like, yeah, of course, what do you expect? But like, I think there should be something preserved that's fucking insane.
Yeah, that's not right, bro.
It's fucking insane.
Fucked up.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I don't know. Are our opinions really that controversial?
No.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
absolutely,
honestly, like,
fucking not.
I mean, like, we're pretty, like, compared to like the right toys I've seen online, like, our opinions are fucking milquetoast as shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's fucking insane that I have to worry about being fucking fired over, like, I have fairly like basic normie lib like stances on a lot of things. You know what I mean? Like, not everything. But like, it's just, I don't know. It's just something that very, like, the more I think about it, the more I get closer acquainted with like how far the right is online and like how deep it gets. You know what I mean? Like the extent of that, and the left too. Like, when you see how far they'll go, it's like, am I really like, are people really like worried about what I fucking think? Like, I don't say anything as crazy as these people.
Dude, we're, you know, like, I mean? Based like, centrist. Like, we're like not offering up anything that's too controversial or like upsetting, really.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just honestly, like, if centrism wasn't just liberalism, then yeah,
of course. If it's like something that was actually like a third positionist centralism,
right, yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's hard to. It's. I think the more I've been, I used to think like, oh shit, some of the shit I say is like kind of like edgy. Like oh, I don't, you know.
COVID. I mean, bro, some of the things that you tweet are edgy just because you're trying to stir shit up, I think. But like, stuff that you say here in your actual opinions are not like troublesome now.
Edgy, I guess, like because of the brevity, I guess because of the character count or whatever. But like,
no, I think you just sometimes tweet shit just to get a rise out of people.
Oh, certain,
like, and
yeah,
I think that,
I
that is what
mind.
I mean by that.
For sure. I say shit with like
thinking of the Rittenhouse episode a little bit. That whole story arc on Twitter. That was maybe trying to upset people. Maybe,
I mean, who among us? Yeah. Though, you know, I mean,
absolutely, who among us? You know.
Yeah, I think me like standing Trump pretty hard. I think those were my two biggest sins, was the Rittenhouse not towing the line on that, and the Trump thing, and saying that Trump was like the lesser of evils.
I mean, dude, that is nothing.
One you're objectively wrong about, one you're objectively right about.
And one of them is just like a popular presidential candidate that like over 50% of the country is okay with. So that's nothing. Like, you don't need to worry about that being Cardinal sin or nothing. If there's people Trump that are upset about that, those people are like fucked in the head.
Yeah.
I mean, that had like a crazy reaction. There were a bunch of people that just looked at me completely different after that.
Which yeah, but like you're not going to lose your job for like being like, yeah, I like Trump. It's not the same as like a bunch of other shit that you could say that you might actually believe too.
I don't think I'd lose my job over it. I think
you'll get some like social animosity.
There'll be some like cost to that. Like yeah, things like course. I need for like, oh, I need you as a reference for something, or I need you to like
yeah,
help absolutely. Me out with something. There's social capital cost to that.
Yeah,
that,
definitely.
Like, for sure. Saying something like he's like a lesser evil or something, like something basic, not even saying like I like him that much.
Yeah,
he's
that's
like
the most milquetoast thing to say too. It's exactly. Like, yeah, he's the lesser of two evils.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. It's insane. I mean, maybe Slav has the most controversial opinions of the three of us, but like even Slav's opinions are like, you know, it's not like I don't know.
Like the fucking I'm like the Hello Kitty of right wingers, basically. Like I'm not even fucking right wing. Like the fucking crazy thing to me is that like half of like the social positions, like the majority of the social positions I have that are like more right wing, like wouldn't have even constituted as that fucking 15 years ago.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's not even controversial. It's not controversial.
And I think that that's what rightists would say to dismiss me, and they would be right to do so. I like don't think I'm a fucking right winger. It's just like it's the way the window shifts. It's just like everyone will basically become one at a certain point.
Right.
And really that's another thing that a lot of them say, and I think they're absolutely right about that.
You shouldn't be on a watch
list.
To
any potential employers, come on, I'm fine.
Come on.
You shouldn't be on a dentist no fly list, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But but that Trump thing, I just found out about this like today. Did you guys hear he was you guys saw him on that podcast?
He was on one podcast. He's apparently gonna do Joe Rogan.
Is he actually, or is that fake?
It might have been
fake.
I
heard it was true. I heard both. But he was on the Full Send podcast. Apparently, it's like a UFC podcast. Like they're affiliated with Dana White.
Right.
They're just some normie guys. They're not political guys. They talk to like rappers and
yeah, just like normie bros. And then they got and then it was like super 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 insanely viewed. And then they got it taken down.
Yep. Did you guys watch the interview a little bit?
Nah.
I saw parts of it.
Was it any good?
It was funny because well, I mean, the guys are very, you know, they're just they're blank slates in a way, you know. They're just like, you know. But the Don, he came in wheeling, you know, he had
the Don, bro.
He had takes, you know, locked and loaded to go.
I saw people retweeting like where they put out the podcast with him on it. And I was like, all right, I got to hit up the Donald Trump team immediately. We got to get him on the Fed.
Yeah. Yo, honestly.
Oh,
but
my God. Yeah, dude. I mean, he's
showing up on that shit. Yeah.
I mean, he's never. Well, he will never come on the Fed post, but that would be incredible if he did.
Yeah.
He's afraid to speak the truth.
Yeah. Well, it's because of the Dana White connection, because he needs that Dana White that link. He's in the interview.
Hopefully my connection with George Soros will get him on.
Yeah. In Israel, yeah. He's like in the interview saying like, you know, you guys are going to, this is going to get taken down, because they do talk about the election rigging.
They do.
He brings it up. Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, how are they able to just successfully remove Trump from having any type of digital presence online? How is that like?
Well,
he's ex-president, dude.
He has his social media platform now.
Yeah, but like they're taking him down from what was this podcast on? Like Spotify and YouTube or something?
Well, it was on YouTube.
I think it was Chapo Trap House.
Yeah. I know YouTube has a strict no election rigging. I almost said interference, which, you know, if you're looking at Russiagate, that's allowed. But the no election rigging content is allowed.
That's unreal.
So he's talking about it. I don't know if they asked him or he brought it up. He probably brought it up. And he's just like, you know, because I'm talking about this, like, you know, this is going to get taken down. You guys know this thing's not going to be up for long. Like, he predicted that. I mean, they did take it down on YouTube. And he's basically like, you know, this is already going to happen. So are you guys prepared for that? Are you prepared for them to, like, come after your family and, like, you know, do all the extra shit? And they're just like, yeah, of course, Mr. Donald. Yeah, they're just like, you know, I don't think they understand what he was saying, but they're just like, yeah, of course. They're like, we're not going to back down or whatever. He just like kept making a point of it. But yeah, they took it down. So, yeah, I mean, it is that's one of the other kind of Rip. Like, yeah, long lasting things. Like, yeah, they just nuked his Twitter. I mean, Jan 6 is how they justify everything. That's how they yeah. justify all that censorship.
Yeah.
Is the call to violence, you know, and bringing up election ringing is a call to violence because of Jan 6. So
that's wild, dude.
That's how that goes.
God, I don't even know, man. I mean, like, I think that people intuitively, I think people sense when something's really charged, obviously, I guess, because that's the whole fucking point. But because of that, I think people sense when something's so charged that they just don't even want to bring it up. And so they avoid it. And like, I just haven't talked to normies about Jan 6th. Like, maybe I've heard a couple things in passing. But like, do people really give a shit about it?
Never heard anybody bring it up except for like journalists. And if I ever heard it IRL, it was like kind of like in a jokey way. Never like with the gravitas, the Pearl Harbor vibes. Like,
oh, yeah, worse than 9/11. It was like 911 9/11s.
Yeah. No, I mean, they still, yeah, it's amazing how long they kept talking about it, like into November, like way mm-hmm. after.
I've never heard any person talk about that in real life.
Never really talked about it. No, maybe like a side joke here or there or whatever, but like, I've never heard it like really brought up that seriously.
No one cares about it. Actually, they just want, like, they're just trying to make everyone care about it. They tried to pump that one so hard, like talking about overplaying their cards. I think that's one of them. Like, people yeah. are just like, yeah, I actually don't give a fuck about that, dude. That's nothing.
Because people hate Congress. Like,
yeah,
historically
of course.
Hated Congress. I mean, if all those people got fucking Fed posted, nobody would fucking. I mean, okay, yeah, there obviously people would. There'd be weird like RBG vigil type libs that would show up.
People would care, yeah,
and people would be unsettled because it'd be like, those are like our government, and like now they're like getting just taken out and Fed posted, so like that's unsettling just in itself.
I would like that a lot.
I guess
it would be obviously shocking or whatever, but I don't think people would be like
or whatever,
you know.
I don't
think anybody's shedding any tears over these people. Like, they're fucking widely hated, you know what I mean? They'd be shocked, you know, they'd be like, wow, somebody pulled it off, it's amazing. But like,
somebody you son of a bitch. It's like the ending of Shawshank Redemption, where Tim Robbins, he like gets out, you know,
yeah.
and it's just like, oh goddamn, he did it, that crazy son of a bitch. I'm like Morgan Freeman, just like walking past like a gallows.
Just looking at the hole through the poster. Yeah, this is like,
they did it. Yeah, it's an RBG poster.
Yeah, topless. Yeah. but yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's yeah, I mean, I don't know. The censoring thing is crazy. I mean, I guess I don't know if we're ever gonna, like, I guess it's just gonna be a regular thing. We're just not gonna really get much like shit of him talking, because he was going hard on the election ringy. He was like, it's a fraud we've never seen before, you know, like unprecedented fraud. Like, he was going in on it. So I forget sure. what else he talked about. He said he liked DeSantis. He obviously, like, from the jump just went straight to the juggler about the Russia shit, just to, because Biden's weak, you know, Biden's obviously like weak on that. So
what he would have fucking, I mean, well, what he says doesn't even fucking matter, right? Because it has nothing to do with what he actually would have done.
Yeah, but he's just like, the gas prices, the inflation, you know, all that stuff, like this trouble we're causing with Putin.
Right,
and all
hammer.
That. He's like, I would have handled it better. I would have resolved this. He's saying everything he's supposed to say.
Right.
But yeah, the DeSantis thing was kind of interesting. He kind of like was like, he said, I made DeSantis. He kind of brought that. He sunned him a little real quick. But yeah, I mean, they just took him down. I mean, I thought censorship on Twitter would get a lot more intense over the time of this show. I mean, it definitely, I don't know if it got more intense, or maybe I trained myself to censor myself a little better. There might be an element of that. I definitely delete a lot more shit now. Mm-hmm. Like ever since I got suspended, I definitely like watch what I say a lot more. So it's hard to tell. Like, I mean, they've suspended all types of people, like Keith Woods and like a bunch of people. So it seems like it'd been turning up during the length of the show.
Is Keith Woods like permanently banned on Twitter?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if that was since I got
censored by the Globalists.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
you didn't know he's suspended? Yeah, I think he's on Telegram. Yeah, but
I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
If I ever get banned off Twitter for good and I can't make another one, I'm not getting on any other social media. Nothing.
Yeah,
I'm not getting on Telegram or any of that bullshit. That. This is my last this is the last thing I'm doing tech wise. Otherwise, yeah. I'm out of here.
COH's last stand.
Yeah.
I can't figure out Telegram. I was there in some group chat with somebody and like my name, like my address was showing up. Some weird shit was showing up. I couldn't turn off. I was like, what the fuck is this? This is fed bait. Like,
that's what I assume know. With all of this stuff at this point.
Yeah.
It's like, like, hey guys, like fucking literally what was the honeypot platform?
Parlor,
yeah. Bro. They're like, hey man, you make a fucking account, and they're like, give me your like take a picture of your fucking driver's license for me or some shit. Like yeah. they wanted you to like give them your fucking address and like all this personal fucking information.
Give us the name of your employer, their direct contact information.
Insanity.
Let's see what else. I guess people are asking nukes and China and next 10, 20 year prediction.
Oh, dude, I'm not even touching that, bro.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah,
I got nothing to do with that.
You already know. If you listen to us, you get the gist. WEF, World Economic Forum, digital
ID. Fuck them.
Dude, honestly.
Successful in the U.S.
My hot take on the World Economic Forum, as somebody who like honestly just hasn't done a deep dive into it, but sees it crop up a lot amongst normies, I wonder if the World Economic Forum is actually kind of bullshit.
I wonder that too, bro. For real, man. Because it's almost too.
It's too convenient. Obvious, bro. Like,
it's
like
too convenient.
The like picture, literally, they have this man with the funny fucking diehard villain voice wearing like a fucking like Star Trek villain robe at these fucking meetings and everything. Like, it just, it kind of seems like it's like the World Economic Forum seems like a double psyop, I guess.
Yeah, man. Yeah. You know, I've been careful to like talk about it because it gives me that vibe. But you're I think I didn't really like form that into a thought until you said it. Mm. But yeah, man, something about it, man, is just like, no. I don't know.
I think these
man.
Sick fucks just, dude, they just are at a level where they can just get together and do whatever the fuck they want to do. And like, this is like the most too. Like digestible version of that. So they just put this out there.
I can see that too. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not dismissing it. I'm not dismissing it 100% because I think like, yeah, I don't know. All I'm saying is I come at it with a little bit of caution.
Okay. The World Economic Forum can put out like strategies and plans and stuff that are essentially like the letter that the DNC sends out to all the NGOs that are on their payroll and all the blue checks that say, hey, this is how we're going to operate now. This is the narrative that we're going to take going forward. That's what the WEF operates as, but for like larger corporations, multinational interests, etc.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, you know, a lot of those like infographics that people will post of things that the WEF have said, like a lot of those are fake, you know? So it's one of those things like, do they exist? I bet they exist. Have they said all that crazy shit? Probably not all of it.
Dude, you can just go to the WEF.com, like WEFforum.com/agenda/archive, and they just have literally
they
just
say crazy
their
shit.
Archive.
There's plenty of crazy shit that's you don't need to fake. You know, it's like the conspiracy thing. Like, you don't need to, you don't need a conspiracy. Like, a lot of it's just out in the open. And they're brazen, I'm sure, with the way everything's been going. But something about it, yeah, Echo Chambers, you guys know him. Like, I like his account a lot. He's he had posted some stuff about Charles Schwab, the guy, the main, the villain guy.
Yeah, Klaus Schwab.
And he's like, he's born out of a CIA-funded Harvard program. Somebody Substack, they're writing about this. Born out of a CIA-funded Harvard program headed by Henry Kissinger and pushed to fruition by John Kenneth Galbraith.
That motherfucker looks like Henry Kissinger.
And the real Dr. Strangelove, Herman Kahn. You know, it's these types of things. It's like, bro, come on. It's like, it's too perfect. And like, again, you know, we're in clown world, so... So, you know, nothing's like too crazy.
I mean, it's too perfect because that's exactly the way that they organized it to be.
Yeah,
I guess. I mean, I don't know. I mean, again, like I don't know. You know what I mean? I haven't done a tremendous amount of research, so I could fucking kick into that the second I get off of here and be like, all right, I've changed my mind. Right. But again, just like looking at it, like, yeah, I get. Yeah. I mean, whatever. Like they have hubris because they're so powerful. But I don't know. It just fucking
Something's weird about it. Yeah.
Something is weird about it. And not in the this is seriously fucked up, we got to worry about it way. But I believe this guy's CIA, man. Like, this seems like a psyop. I don't know. Now I'm just repeating myself.
Yeah. No, I feel what you're saying. I mean, like, aside from the individuals and the individual organizations or whatever, do they want to chip people? I think probably, yeah. I think that's like a no-brainer. And then you get into the debate of whether they can. But as far as what they like, what they want to, I think that's pretty undebatable. Have you seen those TikToks of like the woman like using her chip to like open doors around her crib and all that? Have you seen that?
Wait. This is the bitch got a chip to open doors and shit.
Oh, this shit would send COH to the fucking moon.
I don't even know about this. God damn it.
This woman, she's like in like this extremely, extremely fancy house mansion. And she's just walking around, very modern layout, and just walking around. And basically, like, to get into any room, she just like puts her wrists up and a chip like opens the door.
God damn it,
and
dude.
So many, like, there's so many doors that are just like, you know, just like no need for a door to be there. Open the closet, open the fridge and all that. And, you know, I mean, obviously with the internet of things, like trying to make smart fridges and smart everything and Alexa, like home systems that like connect to everything in the house. Like, obviously it's, you know, and Schwab, you know, he's talked about like, oh, you know, it'll be nice because, you know, you can communicate telepathically with everyone around the world with this chip, and you can have like AI slaves, like robot slaves, you know, all the hits. Basically,
I think Neuralink is total bullshit.
The Neuralink, maybe. The
chip thing, dude. I think that's real. They've been doing study. They've been putting out like. They've been having clinical trials where they put these chips in people's brains that can affect like the level of serotonin and stuff that they pump out. And I think that's for sure something that can happen. I don't know that it means you can talk telepathically, but you can change the way that people's hormonal and like just chemical levels operate. And that is like fucking huge.
Nah, dude, it's the virgin brain implant versus the Chad MK Ultra success story. Like I honestly think it's just more delicate than that, dude. I think it actually is just like information fucking people. And like, I don't think it's as anything as like planting a brain in people. I honestly think it's kind of Lindy. I honestly think it's just like social technology, like religion fucking works, dude. And so like you just get people hyped up on propaganda, basically. Like, like everybody's, there was a fucking thread I saw on Twitter a couple of weeks ago where this guy was just like, dude, like everybody's just high on crack. Like everyone's a crackhead now. And he's likening our relationship with like smartphones and media in that way to it. And it's true, man. Like I honestly kind of think like, I think all the basic parts of like mind control are like sort of around us already. And like,
yeah.
I think that MK Ultra wasn't like a failure, like the official narrative says it was.
No, of course not.
And I think that informs things now.
Yeah, these things aren't mutually exclusive, though. Like, they're going to come out with brain chips, and motherfuckers are going to want the brain chips, no doubt. Lots of people, and they're going to get them. And they're going to use that to further their expanse into the control of people's minds and the limiting of people's consciousness.
I mean, I probably believe the singularity, like the AI singularity, is probably closer than you guys believe.
Oh, my God,
dude. For some reason, the Neuralink thing seems more of a stretch. I don't know. I've got no grounds to say that. But for some reason, that one seems further away. As far as, again, we're dismissing all discussion of desire, right? Desire is like set in stone. We know. Capability wise, yeah. For some reason, that one seems like a little bit further off. And yeah, like what Slav's saying, you know, why fix it if it works? It's working. Like the PSYOP war, the
why fix it? Because there's people that have individual material interests to make chips and make mad money that, regardless of if the overall thing is working, and there's always going to be parties that have conflicting interests that revolve around bringing in a bigger bag and chasing more money.
Someone like Elon Musk
is going to make a fucking Neuralink if he can. You know what I mean? Like, it's not about, oh, we need to sit back and say, shit's going well for us right now, we shouldn't push the envelope. No, they push the envelope every fucking day. That's like why the system's coming off the rails a little bit. And it's not even really, but like, that's why there are so many issues and things that pop up even within the bourgeois elite, because there are so many conflicting interests even within that class, because it's constantly going to be people trying to fight for the resources and trying to make more money.
Musk is a little bit, he's like kind of a, like a cheap grifter. He's kind of like, he kind of builds his, he's like a hype machine. He over projects what he can do. That's another reason why it's sort of like, you know, I'm less worried of like what he's going to do with something like that. But yeah, I mean, like, you know, yeah, of course there's incentives to optimize things. You know, the old style of war works, but like, you could optimize it. Why not? If this whole system is constantly trying to optimize, that's the nature of.
It's just someone will make that technology regardless if they're trying to optimize the PSYOP technology or not, or if they're whatever. They just might think, hey, this brain chip's a pretty cool idea. This is something that might make me a lot of money. And then once it becomes popularized, even if it's no malintent in the first place, the way that capital works is that it's going to incorporate it into its system, and it's going to make it so that it furthers the interest of capital. And what that looks like is the interest of people who have the largest amounts of resources that capital operates through, these people, these intermediaries, like these tech elites, etc. And their interests will align in one way or another, and they will come up with things to, you know, either co-opt this technology or buy it and patent it before it's even out, and then put the things that they want to in it, regardless of if it's coming up in the first place as a social control opportunity or not. Like, I don't know that TV or cell phones were first made as a way to get everyone further on a PSYOP train, but I think it was more so like, oh, look, communication across the world, that's cool. Immediate communication, or hey, look, I can watch these pictures through this box. And then people were like, oh, wow, we can use these pictures through this box to really change the way that people's brains operate. Right. And they're really effective as a medium through which to spread propaganda. And I think that the nature of like propaganda and social engineering and stuff is less so that it's the driving force behind creating these new technologies, and more so that it's something that is just always lying dormant, and it just encapsulates these new technologies when they come out. Like, capital is going to push to create new technologies because the incentive is to create new products and shit that you can sell, new ways that you can maximize profits and such. So if you can make these new things and sell them, or if you can make these new algorithms that are going to make your thing more efficient, or going to, you know, do X thing, that's going to be good for you regardless of if it's beneficial for your class as a whole. But once your class as a whole, many people start operating with that same thing because they realize they need to jump on it or get left behind, then it's going to take place, like, it's going to be representative of your class interest as a whole, because you're going to have many people who are using it to address and pursue their interests. And once they're all in the same class, it's going to align. But when it's just like one or two people in that class popping up in the first place, they're going to be different. It's going to be like a natural
selection. Yes, it's the evolution. Yeah, though the innovative idea will pierce through, and then it'll become the norm.
Yes,
for sure. I don't know. I was kind of mind blown by seeing people in, what was it, Sweden or whatever, chipping themselves with the ID info, and that TikTok of that woman doing that with the chip. Like, that shit kind of like was surreal. I think, I don't know. I think maybe I'm just not aware of where it's at now, but I would not have believed that, like, if someone told me, like, a few years ago, like, just a few years ago, I would not have believed it.
I mean, dude, the transhumanism shit is like 100% real. Like, that's like, that's the next big thing that as a society and as a culture that we're going to be navigating.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, everyone's got their phone on them all the time. And that's like,
that's basically it.
That's
already
halfway there. Yeah. That's halfway to the chip. I mean, yeah, I'm using your phone to like pay for things and get around and pretty much do everything. There's just more aspects of my life that are now tethered to my phone every year. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm the Neuralink thing, I don't know. But like, yeah, just general chipping and just advancements in that, the metaverse shit. I do think there's a legs to a lot of that.
I had a tweet thread about this a few days ago. I'm not sure if you saw it, but I was just like getting real fed up about, I was like opening up Twitter and seeing, realizing I only saw tweets from like 10 people total. No matter how long I scrolled, it was like 10 or 15 people total. Yeah. And I was getting frustrated and I was like, what are these goddamn algorithms doing? Like, I follow 600 people. I'm seeing 10 or 15 people. Half of them I don't even fucking like. You know what I mean? It's like people that they just know are incendiary that are going to cause me to be like upset or cause me to react in some way or another. And I'm thinking, at what point in time did we just hand over the keys and decide, you know what, algorithms are going to completely control the way that I interact with the people I want to online instead of just me making the decisions of, hey, I want to follow these 600 people. So whenever they tweet a new tweet, you're going to put the most recent fucking tweets from those 600 people on my goddamn timeline in chronological order. Like, when did we go from that to, oh, we're going to curate some random tweets from people that we think you may like and some things that people you follow liked and this and that and the other. Like, when did we completely like hand over the curation experience?
You can change the setting to the latest tweets if you want.
Yeah, but even that, it still does algorithm shit. Like, it's still going to pop stuff in there, and it's still going to like hide different things. It's still going to make things pop at the top. Like, even if you're doing the latest tweets, it's still not going to give you just a pure uncut line of like what you're doing. And you're also going to be getting ads and targeted stuff. And then if you go on, you know, Google or whatever, and you Google something, it's not just going to give you actually what's the most, you know, appropriate response or helpful. It's going to just give you one of people that paid to have their ads listed first or whatever type of shit like that, or it's going to see based on the data that you've been searching and stuff on your phone through all the platforms that you use, these are the answers that I think are going to be, or the websites or whatever that I think are going to be most relevant to you. Like, we're essentially just kind of handing over our own experience to these algorithms in the sake of like, oh, it's more efficient, whatever it is. But at the end of the day, really what's happening is we're essentially just giving like capital its own autonomous form. Like, we're letting the whims of the market operate without having to have an intermediary by creating these algorithms that do it by themselves, that do it, or AIs or any type of artificial intelligence or processing, stuff like that, that doesn't actually require any human interaction to do these advanced processes. Are essentially like, we're just removing ourselves from the capital streamlining process. And I don't think that that's good. Like, I think that like robots and stuff, like, that's scary as an idea, and like, you know, robots could take over or whatever. But really, it's like AI as a whole, algorithms, robots, no matter what it is, we are essentially letting capital take over without having any human input at all. We're letting it like just complete. We're just putting on fucking capital autopilot and just letting it run fucking train on us. And I think that that's not good. I think that's literally like vampires, how they need like a vampire needs you to invite it in or whatever. I think that's what we're doing with fucking capital. Like, we're just saying, oh, yeah, you can use our systems and technologies that we built for you to further amass and generate capital. But instead of us doing that, we're just going to kind of let capital as itself do that. It's like just kind of giving over control to the invisible hand itself. And I think that's fucked up. And I think it's going to have some really bad consequences.
Yeah, I think luckily Slav is missing out on all this. This complaint seems like kind of hyper online, but it's true that you said that. Like, I've just noticed like I'm getting more in the algorithm of like, yeah, just the same 10 people. I don't know why. I'm like, why the fuck? Like, I used to see way more different shit. Now I'm like, it's just getting narrow and narrow. Could be because I just block, like, you know, instantly whenever I someone annoys me or whatever. But like, you know, it's definitely narrowing. And there's a lot of these like, oh, you might like this topic. There's like way more of those suggestions that come up now. I saw somebody else was talking about that. Like, it's really like they rewired the algo where it's just like, yeah, it's just like trying to pump your brain with, like, mm-hmm. I don't know. There's something less raw about it.
I mean, it's not even about algorithms on Twitter. Like, I know you're saying it's a hyper online complaint, but I'm talking about, like, literally algorithms that control every single marketing thing that you ever see are through running different algorithms from information and data that's been amassed from thousands and hundreds of thousands of users and X demographic. And that's how they form what commercial they're going to make or what movie they're going to make and put on Netflix or what. That's how they form, you know, what products are going to be made. Literally, like, that type of shit is taking place of, like, people used to say the ingenuity, or not ingenuity, sorry, that necessity was the mother of invention. And that's, like, we're so far past that. It's not even like necessity or even desire that's the mother of invention. It's literally just capital inventing shit for itself in order to make more fucking money.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense because eventually you just have to, you have to create demand. If it's just endlessly, like, demand driven, like, you have to fucking generate it out of nothing. But yeah, I just generally agree that shit is bad.
Shit's fucked up, bro.
But yeah, but yeah, we should head off. We definitely got the right amount of time, but you know, congrats to you guys too. You know, we hit 100, so
yeah, but, we hit 100. We all got jobs.
We all got,
yeah, at the same time. Yeah,
we all got jobs. 100, 2 years, COVID's over.
Yo, let's not jinx it.
Yeah,
let's say it's over for this, for people listening. It's over. It's over right now.
Yeah, exactly. All right, that was part one of our episode. If you'd like to listen to part two, you can find that at patreon.com/fedpost. Thanks for listening.